Hey, sex fans, welcome back. Today is Wednesday, June 8th, 2011, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge. And I'm your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. I have the pleasure of welcoming back my friend, the marvelous Joe Langford, today. He is a therapist, educator, author, and parent, and he's here for another helping of his spot-on teen and parental-oriented sex wisdom. You know, I got so much positive feedback about last week's show from y'all, and I totally agree with everything that you said. Creating a healthier, more informed, and sex-positive culture for our young people is Joe's mission, and it also should be our highest priority. But wait, you didn't miss part one of the show, did you? Well, not to worry if you did, because you can find it and all of my podcasts in the podcast archive on my site, drdicksexadvice.com. All you got to do is use the search function in the header, type in podcast number 282, and presto. But don't forget to use the pound sign when you do your search. Joe invites you to visit him on his site, BeHeroes.net. That's BeHeroes.net. And you can follow him on Twitter, too. Today's program is once again brought to you by Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library. You know, even though I get tons of email from folks looking for my advice, I can only respond to a limited number of inquiries at any given time. But that doesn't mean that I don't care about everyone who writes in. I do. That's why I've set up the How-To Video Library. You'll find a link to this great resource right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. Look for the Video Library tab. The How-To Video Library is the go-to place for all of you who have sexual performance questions. You'll be able to watch all kinds of deliciously entertaining, delightfully enriching, and also informative videos right from the comfort of your own home. How sweet is that? Okay, without further ado, let's get on with the show. Joe, thank you for getting back with us here at drdicksexadvice.com for the Sex Wisdom Podcast, because you are a wise guy, so to speak, as it were. And you have so much information about young people and teen sexuality that I'm so glad that you could come back, because last week we just got to the tip of the iceberg, I think. We talked a lot about the need for sex education for young people. We talked a little bit about your book. I hope to get more into that today. But first I want to begin with the really big question: is what is the role of parents in sex education? A lot of parents I hear from said, oh, you know, that should happen in the schools, you know, and it's not my business.
Oh, like I said last week, I think the parents' role is kind of the same thing as everything else. I really think it's a mistake to rely on schools to be providing information to their kids. I always encourage parents to make it part of their regular conversation. Most parents are pretty good at this in terms of, you know, I'm a parent and, you know, we're talking about sharing and germs and hygiene and peer pressure, drugs and alcohol. You know, parents do that. They know how to do it. It's just do the same thing and talk about sex. Yeah. You know, and that mistake I talked about too, about, you know, people kind of thinking it's the talk. Mm-hmm. You know, that just makes it a lot more scary and stressful than it needs to be. And gives the impression like it's this one-time inoculation that you either screw up or you get through and then you can relax. You know, it's it should be ongoing.
Right. But what if parents are squeamish about sex themselves? What do they do? I mean, do they reach out to a professional to perhaps help them, you know, get the information that they need to pass on? Would your book be a good resource for them?
I would hope so. That's exactly the reason that I'm designing it. That's what I'm wanting it to be. So, yes, I would like to say my book would be a great thing for them to do. But there are a lot of really good sex educators out there for kids of all ages.
Uh-huh.
And so you know, like anything, if you're having a hard time talking to your kid about something, then go find someone else who can. You know, right. One of the things I do a lot of times is just be able to talk to parents and say, this is what your kid needs to know, and this is how you can start those conversations, and they can go try it. And a lot of them come back and say, yeah, I don't think I'm going to do a very good job of that. Why don't you talk to them for me? And I'm happy to do that sometimes. Yeah.
Do you encourage, like, if you're seeing in a family situation, parents and a young person or young people, do you say, you know, let's all be in the same room at the same time when we're having this discussion, instead of, you know, parents, don't be turning your kids over to me, you know, in lieu of what your responsibility is.
Yeah, I mean, I've done a lot of that too. You know, sometimes it's easier for the kids to talk to.
Oh, I see. Right, got. Yeah.
You know, but I, you know, some of that is just being able to figure out in the moment what's going to work the best for that kid right. In that place and that time. But you know, it's good role modeling for the parents too, to just find teachable moments and, you know, talk about their media or their friends. Like, what are your friends doing? What are your friends talking about? That kind of stuff.
Yeah, and you know, for parents, resources, there's great resources on the internet for young people and teen sexuality. There's plenty of websites out there that specialize in this kind of thing. And so if you don't know how to break open the conversation, go to Scarlet Teen or Midwest Teen Sex Show.
Yeah.
All of those really, really marvelous resources, you know, that have years and years of experience. And so you don't have to, you know, create the wheel on your own. This is, you know, it's all out there. It's just collecting it and, you know, putting it in your own words for your own kids.
Yeah. Like, you know, there's some really good resources out there. Like, scarletteen.org is amazing.
Yes, absolutely.
And, you know, a super embarrassed parent can show them the website or buy a book and,
right.
you know, read it themselves and
right.
leave it on the coffee table or in the kids' right. room. And
yeah. Right. So how do parents stay open and supportive? You know, you talk about not the big talk, but the talks. On the subject of sexuality and intimacy and relationships and all of those kinds of things, is there some things that parents can do with their kids that give them the cue that, you know, you can always come to me?
Well, I think trusting our judgment as parents and our critical thinking skills and our teaching abilities, like I said, like we do with everything else in our kids' lives, just trusting that we're able to do it. But, you know, we need to watch ourselves, like know what our own boundaries are,
right.
know what our own biases are, know what our own issues and hang-ups are, and keep those in mind when we're talking to the kids.
Yeah.
You know, I tell parents, don't be afraid to ask the kids what they see and hear at school, or what they think, or what they know, or what they think they know, and
right.
and just do that as often as you can when
yeah.
you see things in a TV show or hear a lyric in a song or something in a magazine, and say, what do you think about that? And just have that third thing
yeah.
to talk about that's kind of external from the parent and the kid.
Right.
They're talking about this third thing, and then they can get a lot of information. And, you know, those moments you can say, actually, you know, that's not how that word is pronounced, or it doesn't really quite work like that. And, you know, parents have to keep themselves educated too.
Right.
You know, a lot of us grew up and our only education was Friends or porn or that class in sixth grade or whatever it was. And, you know, there's lots of parents that I talk to about stuff, and then they say, wow, I didn't know that till I was 30, or I just learned that from you just now.
Yeah.
You know, so there's always stuff that we can learn ourselves, too.
Interesting. And you know, being aware, something you just mentioned a moment ago, being aware of our own prejudices is a really big lot of the information that we have about ourselves that, you know, we can pass on, you know, to our kids. I'm unclear about, you know, gay and lesbian stuff, so, you know, maybe I'm not the one to ask, you know, but here's what I know about other things. Or letting kids know that, you know, you have limitations, you know, that you're not Mr. or Mrs. Know-it-all.
Yeah, and I think that's okay, and I actually think it makes kids trust us more when
yeah.
we say that, when
yeah.
when we don't walk in and pretend we're the expert, when we can say, yeah, you know what, wow, I haven't really had to think about this for a long time, or I haven't dealt with this before.
Right.
Let's figure it out together.
Right, yeah, that's a really bonding kind of thing. So one of the most daunting aspects of sex for anyone at any age is deciding if we should have sex with a particular person or not. And this is surely more difficult for young people, I'm guessing. You would agree with that, I trust?
Yeah. You know, I think a lot of young people today kind of flux between this really sort of extremely casual, what's the big deal place to a very intense, oh my God, this love will last forever thing. Mm-hmm. You know, there's, you know, the whole gamut from like Tiger Woods to Romeo and Juliet. Like, they're hormonally charged. They don't have chance. And the sexual media is around them all the time. You just can't escape it. And the pressures of all that stuff can be so intense for kids.
Right. And, you know, it in the popular culture, if you're having sex, it's supposed to mean something. It's supposed to mean that you're in love or that you're dedicated to this person for the rest of your life and stuff. I hear that all the time, you know, from young people who write in to me. And I'm like, oh, my God, he told me that he loved me. And then we did this. And then, oh, my God, now he doesn't love me anymore. And now what do I do?
Or I say, he said he loved me, so I guess I have to have sex with him.
That's
now.
Right. That's right. And, you know, I mean, adults have the same problem. That's the point that I'm trying to make is that, you know, we're just as confused, you know, like, oh, he's told me, you know, that he wants to marry me or, you know, that, oh, my gosh, that I'm my eyes are so beautiful. And it was 2:00 in the morning and we were both liquored up. You know, it's just like, well, come on. If you're having a difficult time, adults, you know, getting through this this minefield, imagine how your kids must be.
Yeah. I spend a lot of time empowering the kids I work with, you know, rather than, you know, focusing on if that person is the right person for you, which when you're young is mostly made, that decision is mostly made emotionally.
Right.
I just try to get them to consider the reasons this person might not be right for them or if they're right for the other person.
Or that, you know, giving a banquet kind of approach to human sexuality and sexual interaction with people, you know, say, you know, mutual masturbation, you can always start there, and, you know, I mean, oral sex, and, I mean, you don't have to, the object is not, you know, dipping your wick or, you know, getting laid, so to speak.
Yeah, but trying to explain that to a 16-year-old is kind of hard sometimes.
Yeah, it is hard, and yet, you know, if they understand that, you know, that there are options available to them, I mean, I try to do that on my site as much as possible. I mean, I try to do that with adults as well, you know, like, if you really want to know some information about human sexuality or, you know, your partner's sexual response cycle, mutual masturbation is a wonderful way to find out.
Yeah.
But,
and
know,
that's to, you know, hopefully avoid pregnancies and things like that, too.
That's what it says here in small print, anyhow. How does an adult address a young person's sexual concerns in a non-seductive way, do you suppose?
Well, I think, you know, humor, using the terms that they use, trying to keep it in sort of a, you know, an external thing, like I said, you know, talking about like, oh, what those people did on that show or what it said in that article, finding that third thing to be able to talk about with the kids is a nice way to keep it impersonal, which I think sometimes is really helpful.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, becoming too personal in your questioning might be a minefield for the adult interacting with a young person?
I think it depends on the situation. That's kind of a hard question. In terms of, like, you know, I think it depends on the adult's relationship to the kid and the kid's age and where they're at and what they're actually, you know, doing. Right. You know, part of the game at the beginning of these conversations is kind of figuring out where the kids are in terms of their sexual behavior.
Right.
And if they really haven't even thought about it yet, and they're just not in that place, then going really hardcore and asking really deep personal questions might feel really invasive to them.
Right.
So it's just nice to kind of ease into that pond a little bit, so to speak, in the beginning.
Yeah. So I hear from loads of teens on my site, and many of them don't seem to have the slightest idea about contraception and safer sex. Do you see the same kind of thing?
Yes, I do. and that's a a massive bulk of the conversations I have with kids is about safer sex.
Mm-hmm. Are contraception of all kinds of means of contraception more available to young people these days than before, or are they still struggling, you know, to, you know, get a box of condoms at a grocery store or a drugstore?
I think that both of those things are actually true. I think there are a lot more options. There's a lot more, especially for the girls, you know, there's just a lot more options than just like the pill out there, or the IUD, right, which can be really invasive.
Right.
There's just a lot more options to them if they want to go out and find them. And I find it still, it's hard for teenage boys to kind of go into the store and get their condoms and buy the right condoms.
Right.
And then go up to the counter and say, hey, these are my condoms, here's my honey. You know, they're so sheepish. You know, one of the things I tell the kids I work with all the time, like, if you can't talk about it, you probably shouldn't be doing it. Like, that's kind of a clue, I think.
Yeah. I say that same thing to adults. I'm telling you, you know, I mean, sometimes I'm wondering, you know, with people writing in their 30s, and I'm going, did you just skip over several decades of your life, or what? Oh, my God. So, yeah. And, you know, just buying the right size condoms is an important decision
to
make. You know, I mean, not everyone
the boys, like, buy the condoms that fit your penis, not your ego. They all want to buy these giant, like, Magnum condoms.
I know that it could slip their, you know, over their whole body. I mean, it's really amazing. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
So lots of people blame pornography for the sexual ills of our society. And I have to agree that there's lots of unsavory aspects to a lot of porn, as we have been discussing earlier this week and last. But here, the thing is porn is here to stay. So how can we help our young people deal with what they surely will encounter on the internet and elsewhere?
I think just talking to them ahead of time that they're going to see it, and giving them tools to help avoid it.
That, or interpret it when they see it?
Yeah. I mean, this, everything from, you know, parental controls to, you know, like I said, I really try to empower the kids I work with to feel like they can say no, they can turn away, they can turn it off, they can report someone. I have a template that I have created over the years for, like, online responsibility that talks about things like the predatory and the prey aspects of the anonymity online. You know, social networking safety is really important these days. Communication etiquette, you know, the social and the legal issues of posting pictures of yourself.
Right.
You know, like, I wish I had a dime for every time I've had to talk to a kid about, don't put that picture online.
Really? Really. Which gets me to my next question is, what about sexting? What can you tell us about that?
Sexting is sending graphic images and pornographic videos with text messaging to friends. It's becoming such a problem that, like, major cities have entire teams on their police forces dedicated to sexting and internet crime.
Right. So this is peer-to-peer kind of sharing, as well as, you know, perhaps predatory adults with younger people?
Well, that's a hard question. Most of the time it's peer-to-peer.
Uh-huh.
There is a phenomenon where the kids think it's peer-to-peer, but really it's some guy on the other side of the country collecting pictures and pretending he's a 14-year-old girl.
Right. Gosh. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, they need to know that it's illegal. It's illegal to manufacture, to possess, or distribute pornography involving anyone who's under 18, even if it's your own naughty bits. I don't know how they aren't getting the message quicker, but there's so many of them that don't understand it.
Well, they're seeing plenty of examples of adults doing it, and, you know, why would there be a double standard, I guess they'd be thinking. It's like, you know, if you can show your tits, then so can I. Or if you can show your erection, so can I.
Yeah, I guess so. And, you know, I think that that's a hard thing for kids to navigate to in terms of role modeling stuff.
Right.
But, you know, there's a lot of adults that probably shouldn't be posting certain pictures, too.
We're still probably. In the stages. Right.
We're still sort of in the infant stages of internet stuff, and I think people are making a lot of mistakes that in the next, you know, decade or two, they're going to look back and say, wow, I really wish I hadn't done that.
Yeah, and I always tell people, I say, you know, digital images, they're forever. I mean, it's not like, you know, film kind of stuff that it's going to degrade.
Yeah.
You're going to see this stuff for fucking ever.
I'd
at
love
the same
time,
time,
every time I said that too. The internet is forever.
Yeah. And
when you send something over internet or telephone lines, you lose all control over what happens to it.
Absolutely.
Pictures, text, emails, web pages.
Absolutely.
Anything can exist and be traced back to you in perpetuity.
Yeah. The interesting thing is that, you know, when kids ask me, you know, well, I see adults doing this, why can't I? And I go, you know, a lot of it is cultural. And, you know, we set up these arbitrary rules about at what age you can start doing these really stupid things. And if you're underage, it's you can't, you know, any more than, you know, can you walk into a liquor store and buy, you know, a bottle of booze or a pack of cigarettes? You just can't. Sorry. I mean, it's just the way things are. But wait, it's just the way things are. You know, and that's basically the end of the discussion, you know, that I have with young people. And I said, it's, you know, you're going to have to abide by this because this is the way things are.
I think sometimes that just has to be the case. And you know, other things I'd like to talk to kids when I talk about the sexting thing is just that it's not just limited to the sexual stuff.
Right.
You know, when they post pictures of themselves or when they post pictures of their friends, right, who are 15 years old or drunk off their ass at a party, waving a beer bottle and lifting their shirt, you know, that's online too. And now, you know, with Facebook and social networking sites, you can tag people, right?
Yes.
So you can say, oh, that was, you know, picture of Amy, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, at business offices from colleges or their grandchildren, Amy's grandchild might see that picture of her, you know what I mean? And they need to be able to think about this.
Right,
they're like
right.
tattoos, they're forever.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's hard to have that presence of mind, you know, when I'm inebriated.
Or when you're 13, right? I mean, it's
kind of like the same thing.
Anything more scandalous than anyone ever has, they just have webcams in their bedrooms now or on their cell phones with them all the time. Can you imagine, like, think about yourself in high school if you had something that you could video document everything stupid that you did when you were 15 years old? Like, that probably wouldn't have ended well either. they're not doing anything different. They just have more tools than we did.
That's so true. And as we say, those digital images last forever. So, let me ask you, who are your inspirations and who are your sexual heroes, if you have any?
Well, I got to give snaps to Dan Savage.
Ah, good for you.
He's amazing. He's really been a role model to me. And, you know, the stuff he does is hilarious and super helpful. And, yeah, especially the stuff he's doing now with the It Gets Better project is really important stuff.
Right.
He's amazing.
It's so amazing. I mean, Dan is really amazing in that regard because not only does he, you know, have information, he puts it into a context in you know, a cultural context. I mean, it's hard to have a very proactive and sex positive stance on human sexuality and not have a political aspect to that. Would you not agree?
Oh, yeah, I totally agree with that.
Yeah, interesting. Good, good, good.
Yeah, and he's navigated that really well,
right.
I think.
I think so, too.
And I like Kidder Caper. You know, he has a podcast, Sex is Fun, somewhere in the Midwest.
But it hasn't got blown away by a tornado.
He's everywhere because you can find him on iTunes. But he's done some really good stuff. He's got a group of people on his podcast, and they present information in a really accessible way, I think.
Good, good, good. Well, my friend, that takes us to the end of our time together, sadly. I could go on and on. You're so charming, and you talk so well about this very important, and I can tell you're very passionate about what you're doing and the need for this educational outreach to our young people. So congratulations on this, and best of luck to you, and get back to us as soon as your book is published so that we can promote it here.
Great. Thank you, Dr. Dick. Yeah, this has been really fun. Thanks for giving me the opportunity.
Good, good, good. So until we speak again, before we go, why not give us your website address again and walk us around?
Oh, sure. It's beheroes.net. Don't forget the E at the end. And it just it has some, you know, really simple information on there about who I am and what I do and why I do it and how I do it. And a little bit of information on there about, you know, what I think is important for kids to know about these days, and some tidbits and tips for parents and how to kind of start those conversations.
So if anyone in our audience has questions or comments or thoughts or needs your advice or assistance or to consult you, they can reach you through your site?
Yeah, beheroes.net, and I would love that. I, like you said, I am really passionate about this. I love having these conversations, and I can be really open. You know, talking. I talk with groups. I talk with parents one on one. I talk with families. I talk with kids one on one. So yeah, anything that I can do to be helpful to people,
good.
I'm really interested in that.
Thanks, darling.
Thank
Bye.
You. Enjoy that. Bye, Dr. Nick.
What a terrific show. Well, that's it for today, sex fans. Tune in next Monday when we return to the Erotic Mind series and more sex advice with an edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library. Listen up, buckaroos. Thanks to this amazing technology, you'll be able to watch your choice of smut from the comfort of your own home. With just a little prompting from you, they're going to come gushing out of your computer like nobody's business. Check it out. You'll find a link to this fabulous sex resource right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. Look for the tab that reads Video On Demand. There is no membership fee. This is a pay-per-minute kind of deal. And remember that your pay-per-view minutes allow you to watch whatever content you want for whatever length of time you choose. Pretty gall darn sweet, huh? Well, until next time, remember, sex is good. And good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.